Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Draft Podcast. I'm Carlos Clauso, joined by Peter Flaherty. What's up, Peter?
Not much. Doing well. I'm enjoying all of the postseason baseball, really outside of like one or two games. It's been like the classic playoff baseball feel with every game being close, a lot of big moments. So that's been a blast. Selfishly, I'm unbiased, but I'm enjoying the run that the Tigers and the Mets are on right now. So
yeah,
that's been fun. And then I am excited for what will kind of be a shell of what Jupiter is next week. But nonetheless, there's still going to be a World Wood Bat. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I guess it's a benefit if you're a big fan of the draft podcast, because if we didn't have a hurricane bearing down on Florida yesterday and throughout today, me and you right now would both be in Jupiter watching a bunch of baseball games, scrambling around fields, but that event got pushed back a week. I'll be really curious to see what your thoughts are when you go to it next week. I won't be able to go next week with that change, which is a bit of a bummer because I think Jupiter every year is just a really cool event to go to, a bit of a scouting convention on top of just a lot of fun players to see. But no, I agree with you on the MLB playoffs. I feel like outside of maybe like a game or two, every game has been really compelling throughout. It's been back and forth. It's been close. We've had offense. It's been a lot of fun to watch. It was funny. We had some friends come over to the apartment a few days ago, and we were kind of flipping back and forth between a playoff game and one of the NFL games. It was the first NFL action I'd watched all season. And man, I understand that I'm biased towards baseball and I love baseball more than other sports, but it is insane how boring that sport is to watch compared to the playoff baseball that we had. There was like nothing was happening in this football game, and every time we flip back to baseball, there was something crazy going on, whether it was a robbery and a feigned robbery or Manny Machado throwing a baseball to the other team's dugout. Like, we've had a lot of fun events. We've had a lot of fun, I think, conversation around the games, just like building up to it. There have been good rivalries, especially in the National League. So yeah, it's been a blast. But this is the draft podcast, so we're going to focus on some amateur players. And I guess because our last time we talked about college pitching, Peter, you have acquiesced to me, and we're going to talk about some high school profiles that I really like. We're talking high school shortstops today. How does that sound?
I'm fired up. As we talked about both offline or off air, whatever you want to call it, it's a pretty impressive group. So I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah, I was having just kind of a separate conversation with a scout the other day, and he just mentioned like the fact that I think this was in context of actually talking about the Padres, how basically every player on that team was at one point a shortstop, and just how athletic that team is and how impressive they are defensively, despite being all like, or not despite, but maybe because of all being former shortstops. But that's really why I like the profile so much. I mean, in terms of margin for error, I think this is the single demographic in the draft that gives you the biggest margin for error, because you can move down the defensive spectrum. The most high-end athletes and tools are typically found at the high school shortstop demographic, just because those guys are getting plucked up and signed into pro ball before they can even make it to college. That's why it's, I'd say, fairly rare to have like a really, really tooled up athletic shortstop at the college level. It happens sometimes, they get through the cracks and players will pop after they get to college, but I feel like typically the college shortstop profile is kind of this contact, really, really reliable profile. And then with the high school players, you get the just uber upside. Like no one's letting Bobby Witt Jr. get to school. No one's letting that tool set and that appealing defensive profile get to college in the first place. And like you said, I think this year's class is really strong on high school shortstops. A year ago, I think this was a position that's lacking. We're going to talk about a lot of the shortstops we have kind of in the 10 to 30 range on our board now. We've got seven shortstops, or at least players who are playing shortstop right now. I think not all of them maybe will be easy projections to stick there moving forward. But I guess, yeah, let's just get into it. I mean, let's skip over Ethan Holliday today. We've spent a lot of time talking about him in the past. I think this can kind of give us a chance to get into maybe, I don't even know if we'd call him second tier, but the non-Ethan Holliday shortstops in the class to give them a little bit of attention. And the first guy I had up, Peter, was Billy Carlson. I mean, we have him ranked number 10 right now in the class overall. One of three Corona players we've mentioned previously in the podcast. That school is just absolutely loaded. We'll get to his teammate in a little bit as well, but maybe the best defensive shortstop in the class overall, high school or college. I think when you talk with most scouts about Billy Carlson, the first thing they'll talk about is just how impressive his actions are defensively, how dynamic he is as a defender. I think like Bryce Rainer a year ago, Billy Carlson is probably sitting with a pretty easy 70 grade arm at the position. It also makes him a really impressive pitching prospect in his own right. But then he's got a pretty solid offensive game as well. It's a good bat path. He has solid balance. Doesn't chase too often. I think it's a pretty strong understanding of the strike zone with impressive bat to ball skills. He uses the entire field pretty well. I'm not sure exactly what sort of offensive impact and upside you're looking at with a guy like Carlson. I don't think he's ever going to be a huge power hitter, but I think he can do a lot of things pretty well while being a potential 60 grade defender at the position.
Yeah, you hit on I think the key point with him first. The defense stands out. Like I think that's crazy to say that it might be his carrying tool. You might not be able to say it's his carrying tool, but like when you go and watch this kid play, that's the first thing that'll stick out. Like really quick feet, great athlete, attacks the baseball. There's range in either direction, and then the arm strength is obviously, again, it's a 70, and I think it's a comfortable 70, which you can't really say about a lot of players at the college or high school level. He's a really safe bet to stick at the position, the athleticism, like everything. There is so much to like with Carlson. Mm-hmm. And also similar to Bryce Rainer, like if you watch him on the mound, as I was in the lead up to the podcast, it is really, really impressive. Like the athleticism translate, he moves super, super well. The arm strength is, again, the ball just jumps out of his hand, the curveball, he spins it really well. I don't think it's as impressive as what Rainer was doing, but certainly is a quote unquote fallback option. It's not a bad one. So he's kind of this classic like Southern California shortstop, who's going to go really, really good. I think I'm curious to see how the offense looks.
Yeah.
This spring, as he kind of looks to build off of last year Corona, but really impressive player.
Yeah, and I had kind of thrown out maybe a Mason Wynn comp with him just because he is so good defensively. He has that pretty tremendous arm strength. He is a two-way player on the pitching side, and I just thought back to Mason Wynn in high school, and I think there have been some scouts who have said, you know, Billy Carlson is pretty toolsy, but Mason Wynn's tool set is just maybe on a different level. There's maybe a separator. I think particularly the speed might be a separating tool. Billy Carlson is just more of an average, solid average runner. He's not a burner by any means. Mason Wynn has been a pretty productive base runner at the big league level. He's 87th percentile in sprint speed. So that was kind of a comp that I always think about. I don't know if it's the best comp or perfect comp. I brought it up in a podcast with Ben as well, but just in terms of being like a high level athlete, two-way player with huge arm strength, that's going to be an asset for him at the position, on top of just really, really advanced defensive actions and reliability with the glove work for Carlson. I am curious to see next spring, like how scouts are talking about him as a hitter. Because while like being a really elite defender at shortstop is great, I still think the upside of the profile will be primarily driven by how good of a hitter he is. Is it going to be just like average hit, average power projections? Is it going to be a little bit more than that? I think that'll ultimately determine how high up in the draft he's going to go. I think this is a profile that I wouldn't expect to fall too far, just given all the things that he does really well. But if he's going to push like a Xavier Nyans or an Ethan Holliday at the top of the class for hitting, I would imagine he'll have to take a step forward offensively.
How bullish are you on the offensive profile? Because I think that him in general, like you've got a slam dunk shortstop, you have what he's got going on the mound right now, even though he's going to be not viewed as a pitcher, but like the defensive skill set and present tools are going to be enough to push him into this first round range. How do you feel right now on the offensive profile?
I like the hitability. I like his ability to maneuver the barrel throughout the strike zone. I think the bat to ball skills and the approach are really solid. So I think he's got a chance to be an above average pure hitter. I guess for me, it's just like, how much impact are we talking about? He's not the biggest guy in the world. He's, I think, 6'1", 175 pounds. So there's room to add strength. I'll be excited to see like what the body is looking like after this off season next spring, like how much strength he's able to pack on. So yeah, I think it's going to be hit over power more. It could be just a guy who gets a lot of doubles and you get maybe to a solid slugging number through that. But yeah, it's hit over power for me, and I'm not sure like what sort of power projections you're going to be looking at for a guy like this in 5 to 6 years. So I think more solid than like a carrying offensive package. What about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't think it's a super like volatile offensive profile, if that makes sense. Like when I went on Synergy and looked at him, and I basically just clumped together every like major event from the 2024 cycle. He performed well as a whole. The swing decisions are obviously pretty polished. There's advanced contact ability there. It's more just like him doing a lot of things well than like anything standing out. But I am curious to see like this spring what the overall package looks like. Like you said, if he's able to impact the ball more, I could maybe get a little mass with metal bats, but I am curious to see what it looks like this spring. But that's it. Right now, he's a guy that, like you said, I'm not sure if he's going to push into that, like Xavier Nyans, Ethan Holiday, upper echelon type of pick range, at least like mocked right now. But he's someone that I would comfortably take with my first pick in the mid to late first round.
Yeah. Like, I think he has better contact skills and bat to ball skills than those guys. It's just like the separation and impact quality and power potential is really maybe a question I would have for him moving forward. But no, I think in terms of overall profile, pretty safe profile for me. Like, I would feel pretty confident that he's going to provide value in a number of different ways. He's a pretty instinctual player. And it's nice having that fallback pitching option as well. None of the other players we're talking about here are going to have that sort of fallback option. He is one of the better two-way players in the class and a legit two-way player as well. I mean, even if you might prefer Bryce Rainer on the mound, Billy Carlson has certainly pitched more frequently. So that's kind of cool too.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's a, like, if you watch video of him on the mound, as I did in the lead up to it, like there's like, he's a pitcher. Like there is a little bit of thrower in there, but like he can pitch, which again, I don't know if he'll ever get the chance to at the next level, but it is really enticing, at least right now.
All right, let's move into our next shortstop. We got Cason Cunningham, just a few spots behind Carlson at number 13 overall on the draft board. He comes out of Johnson High School in San Antonio, Texas. And you guys will notice as we talk through these players, it's a lot of West Coast names, or at least western half of the country. If we're not, I guess we're not exactly calling Texas West Coast, but western half. And Cunningham might be the best pure hitter in this high school class, I think. Would probably be a pretty safe bet for that designation, just given his track record, the quiet, compact, direct swing he has. He's one of the smaller players we're going to talk about today. He's listed at 5'10", 180 pounds. But I think just in terms of everything he does offensively, he probably is the safest projection to be an above average hitter of this group. It's really quick hands, some of the best bat speed I think we're going to talk about of this tier of players. It's an economical turn in the swing, I think. He's really efficient with how he gets his hands through the zone. It's direct to the ball. It's a pretty simple setup. He's quiet in his load phase. There aren't a lot of extraneous moving parts. And I just feel like he's got tremendous feel to put the barrel on the ball. I just pulled up, like you said, we're using Synergy as we kind of brush up on these guys ahead of the podcast. But in 2024, just looking at his contact skills, it's like a 91% overall contact rate, which I believe is the best of any of these shortstops we're going to talk about, at least in 2024 sample. And I think that is pretty consistent with him going back to his underclass track record as well. It's just a very hit ability, really natural, instinctive hitter type for me.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I isolated kind of on all of the major 2024 events for a lot of these guys. And I think he was running an overall contact rate above 90%, which is obviously, again, with Cunningham, the hit ability has long been his calling card. But in the box, it's hard to not be a fan of how he does it. You summed it up really well, where it's a simple and compact swing without a lot of moving parts, but there is this really appealing compact explosiveness to it. Like, he's smaller in stature, But I mean, he's shown the ability to kind of unload on the baseball at times. The hands explode through the strike zone and the feel for the barrel when you combine it with that.
Yeah.
You know, it'll warrant really positive results. I think it was in the PBR All-American game at Lone Depot where the Miami Marlins play. I mean, he turned on a fastball in the inner third, inner half, and deposited it over the right field wall for a solo home run. I mean, so they're like, it's without a doubt hit over power. Like the hit is really, really good. Like you said, I think you're looking at a clear above average hitter eventually, but there is some thump to the pull side. He can run. And I think people might get scared off with the frame, but like you said, like, I mean, I'm a sucker for a really, really good hit tool and a present one, especially with prep guys where that seems to be a trend that, you know, is going a little bit by the wayside. So I'm a real fan of Cunningham. That's another clear first round type for me. I do have a little bit of, I guess, questions about where he's going to stick on that. Like he's going to stick on the dirt. It's just a matter of where, if I knew or felt that he was a slam dunk pro shortstop, this is a guy I'd probably be pretty bullish on my personal board, but
yeah,
where there is a chance he moves off the position. I'm not like, again, more like late-ish first round type, but I'm a real fan.
Yeah. I think the defensive questions are probably going to be the biggest with him. Maybe in a similar way to kind of how Kevin McGonigal was viewed coming out of high school. I think he's similar, at least in terms of stature. McGonigal is currently listed at 5'10", 187 pounds. So a shorter guy, but a strong player as well. I think of Cunningham in a similar vein, just in terms of overall profile, in terms of size, in terms of like instincts hitting, and then defensive questions, right? Like I think the range might be a little bit light for him. When I was watching, I thought the first step could be a little bit quicker. His actions could be improved a bit. Like sometimes the footwork just seemed a bit more rigid than you typically see from a shortstop. He is a plus runner at times, so maybe the range is just going to be more than I am kind of outlining here as he gets more reps and maybe gets a little bit better defensively. But I would look at him and say he's probably going to move to second base at the next level and be this sort of hit first, solid defender at second, but unspectacular. And if he can, like if his feel for the barrel is enough that he's going to just maximize the raw power that he does have, I could see him following a sort of Kevin McGonigal type path. I mean, I'm particularly high on McGonigal. I'm not sure how much, like how highly you view him now, but he's coming off a 2024 season between low A and high A where he hit 309, 401, 452. It was 16 doubles, 5 home runs. I'm assuming as he gets a little bit older, some of those doubles will turn into home runs with a bit more frequency. But yeah, I think ultimately with Cunningham, you're looking at a guy who probably has one of the easier plus hit tool projections of this high school class. I'm being a little bit more timid in putting out big hit tool grades on players ever since Tamar Johnson. That one's going to scar me for a while. But I do think in terms of just natural hitting instincts and comfort that you're going to find a player who is going to stick in the middle infield in some capacity. There's a lot to like with Cunningham. And ultimately, the hit tool is the most important tool. And I think of all the players we're going to talk about today, he's the most advanced and the best pure hitter.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point to bring up McGonigal too, because I know along with Ben Badler, I was like, if Ben was the conductor of the McGonigal train, I was whatever, like the co-conductor or co-pilot, yeah, because
Northeast baby.
I've long been a fan of him and still am. And you mentioned the hit tool. Like I know I'm not sure if Ben said something similar to it, but I was making the argument that he had the best prep hit tool in his draft class. And he was pretty safe to say that he was going to be a second baseman at the next level. I think even more of a slam dunk second baseman than Cunningham is right now. So you look at where he went, I think it was in the comp round 30.
Yeah. He went supplemental first round, 37th overall, signed for $2.8 million. And okay, behind a lot of shortstops. I think in hindsight, you would take McGonigal over here. Here are the high school shortstops who went in that draft: Namala, Colt Emerson, George Lombard, Ada Miller, Ty Pete, Adrian Santana, Colin Houck, Kevin McGonigal. I think you run that back and maybe Colt Emerson and Ada Miller still go in front of him. But outside of that, I think you're taking McGonigal over all those names.
Yeah, I was going to say Emerson for sure. Miller probably, / there's a debate there. But then it's no doubt McGonagall at two or three. So it'll be curious to see how he's viewed throughout the spring, Cunningham. There are some similarities in the profile. I was like, with McGonagall, there was this outstanding hit tool. But I think the ability to impact the baseball was a little bit more present. But again, he was more of a finished product physically, kind of this muscle hamster type. But yeah, I think he falls into that 20 to 40-ish type range Cunningham does. So
yeah,
it'll be fun to watch.
Cool. All right, we'll move into our next player. We don't have to go too far down the board to get to him. Just one spot, in fact. We got Eli Willits, who was a shortstop out of Fort Cobb Broxton High School in Oklahoma. Oklahoma commit. He had a phenomenal summer. I think he's one of the bigger risers on our update that we had in September. I think that update came out. Either way, our most recent update, he was a pretty big riser, jumped into the middle of the first round. 6'1", 175 pounds. It looks like at least they're listed the same. I think after watching some video, it's a similar type frame that Billy Carlson has. A switch hitter with a narrow stance. Again, minimal moving parts in the load, pretty loose and rhythmic from both sides of the plate. For Willits, it's solid average bat speed for me. I think he makes really good adjustments offensively. In two strike counts, he'll get a little bit wider. He'll minimize the load a bit in general. I think he's always shown a pretty good understanding of the strike zone. Solid contact skills, just a very well-rounded offensive look for me, with a lean frame that you can project a little bit more on. But in the same way that I talked about Billy Carlson, I don't think he's ever going to be like this physically imposing slugger type. Defensively, I think it's somewhere in between Cunningham and Carlson. Maybe that's a pretty wide band that you could slot a lot of players in, but I think he's got solid but unspectacular actions. Throws have solid carry. I think he throws from a lower slot. When he throws from a lower slot, or he's running up the middle on slow rollers, when he's going up the middle or he's coming in on slow rollers, I think he could improve his accuracy on some of those throws. I've seen him as an above average runner at times, so I just think he's really well-rounded. And he's going to absolutely jump up the board for many teams who are really model heavy, because he's a former 2026 class member who reclassed. He's going to be 17.6 on draft day. And he's also the son of former Angels outfielder Reggie Willits. So he's got a lot of boxes that he checks off. I think, again, just a really well-rounded athletic high school shortstop.
Yeah. So this might be a, depending on how you view everyone, a hot take or a lukewarm take, he might be my favorite of the guys that we're talking about today. I think that, like you said, there's a really well-rounded skill set. I think it's short. Like, I have faith that he's going to stick at shortstop, where he'll be a fine defender. It's none of this loud, arm or athleticism like a Billy Carlson, but he's going to make the plays he should. The arm strength plays, the advanced baseball sense really translates to the position offensively. When you look at these 2024 major events, he performed really, really well. I like how he does it in the box, especially from the left side. Like, there's present bat speed. I like his hand action. He moves well. He's shown the ability to drive the baseball. It's more of a gap to gap look right now than it is raw power, but like you mentioned, the age, he's a really young kid, and naturally he's just going to grow into more physicality and strength, and the ability to drive the baseball will be even more present. And I think with him, a cherry on top, the bloodlines are there with his dad, Coach Willits, but this summer he was down with Team USA in wherever they were playing. I think it was Panama, and that event coincided with most, if not all, of the upper class area code events.
Yeah, but I was annoyed I didn't get to see him more in person because of that, along with the number of that entire roster, Cunningham included.
Exactly. But I think what was most impressive was even after USA, and I believe they won gold, but after the event, he got on a plane, flew out to California, and played in just one area code game with the Yankees. It was the last one. He hit leadoff, played shortstop. I think he got a base hit up the middle in his first at bat. I think that, like, that baseball rat grinder is another unfortunate kind of, not dying breed necessarily, but one that is not as frequent as I think anyone would like to see. So that was really refreshing. Like, he's just a baseball rat, and I think when you combine all of the intangibles that he has with the tools on the field, I would feel really, really safe in pounding the table for someone like that. It's everyone's profiles has holes, especially high schoolers, but I really, really big Eli Willett's fan. Like, this is, I would take him pretty good in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. When you said you would take him over Carlson, I don't think there's maybe there's huge separation for some people, but in my mind, they're pretty close together. I think you can make really compelling arguments for either one. I think really the two big advantages for Willits in that direct comparison is the fact that Willits is a switch hitter, which adds some value, and he's almost a year and a half younger. How just polished and advanced his game is and his instincts that he shows really in all areas of the game is just so impressive for a player who is that young, should be a guy who we're not even really bearing down on at this stage. And I think those traits are really going to shoot him really high on a few boards, maybe a lot of boards. I mean, we do have him ranked in the top half of the first round already. So it's not like this is some deep cut guy who we're just both really excited about. I think he's ranked in a spot commensurate with his talents, his tools and his skill. So I don't really know where the weak hole is in Willett's profile. I guess it's like power. That would be the only area that I could say, oh, I'm not sure how much power he's going to get to, but I think he has more than a really solid shot to get to like average power as he fills out, but maybe that's too bullish.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I guess like present impact, which you can say for a lot of these guys, but I think you can also feel at least a little bit more confident or have more of a degree of confidence with him growing into it than others, just given his age. Like, he was 16 all this summer. I think he's still 16, like, right now.
Yeah. And so, I mean, his age at the draft is 17.6. His birthday is, yeah, he'll turn 17 in December.
Geez. Yeah. So, I mean, he's just a 16-year-old kid right now. So, I mean, I'm sure for model teams, like, he's going to grade out really, really well. Like, you know, he's young, tools, makeup, bloodlines, like, that alone is going to land him really, really high on a lot of teams' boards, and he'll perform this spring. So, I mean, this is someone that I would take inside the top 20 picks right now.
All right. Well, let's move into our other Corona infielder. That's Brady Ebel. He is a 6'3", 190-pound left-handed hitting shortstop, third baseman, committed to LSU. We talked a lot about players who are going to stick at the middle infield, and maybe we have questions about the impact. I don't think that really will continue to hold true with Brady Ebel as we talk about him. He's got a large frame. He's tall with strength now and a ton of room to fill out. It's a bigger swing than some of these other players we talked about with some moving parts. He's got a deep toe tap load in the lower half. That moves into a long stride forward as his swing gets started with some bat waggle in his load. It's a slightly uphill path with, I think, solid average bat speed, but not Kasem Cunningham bat speed for me. He's got solid strike zone awareness, a bit of swing and miss concerns. I think it's maybe like fringier average bat to ball skills, but really for Brady, you're looking at a guy who probably is going to have more raw power, probably does have more raw power than all guys we talked about before. And moving forward, you can get pretty bullish with your projections on his power. For me, I think he's probably not a middle infielder. I think he's probably a little bit slow, a little bit light on the range and footwork to stick at that position. But I think he could be a solid defender at third base. He has been highly regarded in the past just for his overall baseball instincts, for his strike zone discipline. He's another guy who has big league bloodlines. His father is Dodgers third base coach Dino Ebel. So a lot of people have kind of seen Brady as a very polished player for a long time now. I think there are some people who view him as he's felt very polarizing, at least in the conversations I've had with scouts throughout the summer. In the past, he's shown really impressive strike zone awareness and feel for the barrel. I'm maybe a little bit lighter on that personally, just seeing a little bit more swing and miss than maybe some other scouts have seen, but he certainly has offensive upside and a shot to stick on the left side of the infield and be a solid defender there. What do you think about Brady Ebel?
Yeah, so I'm less confident in him sticking at shortstop than I am a lot of these, maybe everyone else that we've talked about, and that's not necessarily a huge knock on him, but I do think that when all said and done, he'll be a third baseman. I'm also with you. I know you and I are the hit tool chiefs, kind of, so I'm with you on being a little bit worried about his and projecting on his, and I think that you can be excited about the impact. He's this big 6'3", 6'4" kid already pushing 200 pounds. There's probably more in the tank there when it comes to impact. There definitely is. And he's already shown the ability to impact the baseball. But just the overall miss is concerning when you look at the 2024, I guess, circuit, you could call it. It was pushing 30%, but he does do a good job of staying within the strike zone. You know, there isn't a ton of length to his swing, but there are some more moving parts, as you said. But it's an interesting profile, as a whole, and I think that, like, there is little doubt in my mind that he's gonna end up at third, but he'll be fine over there. And he's more of a, like, would I use my first pick on him right now? Probably not. Would I be happy to get him with my second pick? Absolutely. So I think, like, that's kind of the range for me, at least, he falls into now. But there's no reason why he can't push himself into the first round or be a first round selection. Like, that wouldn't be a shocking development at all. And I think just in talking through him and I guess two of the other guys that we have right now, that Corona team this spring is going to be, like, insane. I don't want to say best high school team of all time, because someone will be like, you missed the Broken Arrow team of 1983 that went 41-0. But, like, recent memory, that from a prospect standpoint, like, that team is going to be really tough to top, that Corona team.
Yeah, I think you hit on it pretty well, especially offensively. Even if he doesn't have, like, superlative bat-to-ball skills or contact, I think in terms of power and on-base skills, he's going to provide a lot as a left-handed hitter moving forward. And he also is fairly young for the class. I believe he will just narrowly be 17 on draft day as well. He's not as young as Eli Willits, but we have him as an 18.0 age at draft guy, and his birthday is at the end of July. So he'll still be 17 when the draft happens. So the impact quality that he's shown and just his size and physicality is pretty impressive for that. I think he's just a solid player with maybe just more confidence that he's going to be at third base. He's a below average runner now. I don't anticipate him, like, adding a lot of speed moving forward. I think more likely you're going to see a guy who layers on a lot of strength and mass and starts to tap into more frequent power in game and profiles pretty solidly at third base. And I think, like, where he's going to go on the draft is obviously going to depend on, like, just how high you are on the pure hit tool for Brady. I know there are some people who are pretty high on him as a pure hitter and really like to swing. So don't let me discourage you guys if you really like him. I could just be on the lower end of the spectrum at this point. But even so, I would view him as, like, a back of the first, second round type talent personally. And we've got him at 17, so pretty good spot. Anything else you want to say on Brady before we move on to our next player?
No, not at all.
All right, well, next up we've got Sean Gamble, and we're going to the East Coast for the first time in this conversation. Gamble is, I guess, maybe the least qualified to fit in the shortstop conversation here, because he's also an outfielder and has played a lot of outfield in the past, but he's going to fit in this conversation for now, at least. We've got him ranked 18 right behind Brady. He is a little bit older for the class. He'll be 19 on draft day. I think early July birthday for him, but 6'2", 185 pounds. Out of IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, another program that has had no shortage of talent in the last few years. But I think, for me, Gamble is maybe one of the more exciting pure athletes of the group we've talked about. He stands out pretty quickly in terms of his speed, in terms of his power, his bat speed. The swing is very high energy, violent. He generates a lot of force. It's a wide spread stance. With some moving parts, he's got a bit of a hand hitch. He does swing with such intent that at times it'll lead to some ugly whiffs and pulling out at times. I think there are some maybe timing inconsistencies he could shore up moving forward. Sometimes the front foot doesn't always get down in time, which creates some timing issues for me. I think in general, he's got a solid understanding of the strike zone, but also I would have swing and miss questions with him really against all pitch types. So I think it's more of a power over hit profile moving forward as he adds strength and gets to physical maturity. But he's also probably the best runner of this group. He's consistently plus runner, gets out of the box with sometimes that are better than that. And then defensively, I'll be really curious what scouts are going to do with him moving forward, what the reports are going to be like this spring. Where is he going to play? He's played kind of all over the place. I think he's got solid, like workmanlike type actions at shortstops now. Solid arm strength. The arm, the way it works, I feel like it's a more natural arm slot and action from the outfield. Like I would wonder, like, how does he throw from multiple angles at the shortstop position in the infield? And in general, I think he's kind of a raw defender at a number of positions, but you can see the sort of athleticism, speed, natural arm strength to kind of grow into a dynamic defender, or at least a solid average defender at a few positions. I'm not really convinced on like where that is now. I would say probably more likely to be an outfielder and a good one moving forward, but he's kind of a fun athlete with power, bat speed, and just running ability. What are your thoughts on Sean Gamble?
Yeah, it's tools, tools, and tools. I think that's the name of the game here. I think that there's some unknowns about projecting on him long term, but the sheer upside, I think you can get really excited about, and it's easy to get excited about. I think starting offensively, like there are some hit tool concerns, especially with the swing and miss in zone, but the approach, if you're just looking at strictly the chase rates with him, throughout the 2024 event cycle, I think it was under 20%, but I am a little bit worried about the hit tool in general and the pitch recognition skills in particular. But I also do think that there is some low hanging fruit to clean up in his operation at the plate. Like you kind of look at the how with Gamble, and his good will look really, really good, but the bad will also look really bad. And you can say that really about any baseball player, but I think that there is, again, relatively easy adjustments to make with him. You mentioned the hand hitch a little bit. There are some moving parts. There's a high leg lift, getting his front foot down more consistently. Like these aren't reinventing the wheel type changes. So I think that you can feel reasonably confident in making those tweaks and maximizing his upside, whatever that looks like. And there is present impact. He's more of a, from maturity and physicality standpoint, more of a finished product than some of these other guys, but he's a plus runner. The arm strength plays at a myriad of positions. Me personally, I'm with you in kind of wondering how it would look. Like, I don't know if right now I'm like pounding the table saying this kid's a pro shortstop, but
yeah,
I would almost just let him work in center field and just let the speed and athleticism play and just let him run around and go after it. Cause I mean, I think that that's where a skill set like Gamble would really play. But I think that for the unknowns that you have about him positionally, I think that you can take solace in the fact that he is this primo athlete. He's a really good runner. And he is a good bet to stick at a premium position, and where that is just, you'll figure that one out. But a lot of the stuff he does translates really well up the middle. So
yeah,
it's a fun moldable ball of toolsy clay, I guess.
Yeah. If you're a person who really dreams on upside and loves tools and athleticism, I think Gamble probably has the most dynamic set of physical tools and has the highest just athleticism foundation of the players we talked about. I think in general, he probably is among the more volatile profiles just because he seems like the least natural hitter, at least all the players we talked about so far. But I think you bring up some good points about some fixable things offensively that might happen over the next few years. So yeah, he's a fun one. IMG has been a bit of a blessing and a curse for players over the last few years, particularly hitters. It is a pressure cooker in the spring. We have seen some players who just have not, for whatever reason, have good performances. So if you take this tool set and you hit well with that program in the spring, you're going to face more than enough good competition to prove yourself and to really move the needle for evaluators. So he'll be an interesting one to watch moving forward. But the power speed and the athlete combo is just really compelling.
Yeah. And I guess with the, with the offense, it's all about how much faith you have in your player development department being able to clean that stuff up, or if he himself is going to be able to clean it up and still kind of look the same at the plate. So it's a fun debate between, I guess, upside and also risk, but I'm sure he's going to go well enough with the tools that he has alone.
All right, let's get into, we got a couple more players. We're getting into our final two here. Coy James is our next guy up. He's ranked number 21, comes from the best state of all the states we've talked about so far, North Carolina product. We love to see that. Davie County High School. He's 6 foot, 185 pound right-handed hitting shortstop, Mississippi commit. Coy James, I feel like aesthetically his swing is so compelling to me. I really find myself liking it at East Coast Pro. his batting practice was phenomenal. He was just on the barrel consistently, up the middle, hard contact. A lot more power than I was expecting for a player of his frame, and then didn't quite put everything together in game. And so then I had a few more questions about, like, what is he truly as a hitter? I think in terms of track record, Coy James stands near the top of this class. He has a really, really detailed and long track record of hitting. He played for Team USA as an underclassman on the 15U team. He's been a leadoff hitter for that team. He led off for the U18 team. So he has a long track record, especially with Team USA, of just performing at a high level. I think his swing can get a little bit long at times. He is an aggressive hitter. Maybe one of the more aggressive hitters in terms of swing decisions that we talked about in this grouping. He really likes to swing. He'll expand the zone. And there just is a little bit more swing and miss than I would have expected, just given how consistent and on the barrel he was in his batting practice. So I guess there are some questions about, like, ultimately what is the hit tool? But yeah, that's kind of my offensive overview of Coy James. What are your thoughts, Peter?
I like this kid. Like you said, aesthetically, it looks really, really good. I mean, some of the swings that I saw on Synergy were really impressive. I think one of the better ones was in the PG All-American game against Seth Hernandez. He had one of Seth's high 90s fastballs bearing in on him, and he turned it around for a double down the line. Really quick hands. He's an aggressive hitter, as you said. Like, he's not going to get cheated during his at-bats. He wants to hit. He's ready to hit. Which I'm a fan of that mentality and mindset just in general. And I think that there is both present impact and impact upside that you can dream on. You know, again, as he just gets bigger and stronger. And I think that isn't too big of a leap to make with James. I am a little bit curious about where he is defensively long-term. Like, you can put him in the Case and Cunningham bucket, for me at least, with, I don't know if he's a slam dunk shortstop, but, like, I think that he would be fine over at second base. Like, he handles himself fine at shortstop right now. I just think long-term professionally he might be in second base. And then you get into the discussion of, well, how confident are you in the hit tool? Like, there is some miss there. There's some chase there. And I think that part of that is due to just the aggressive by nature approach that he has.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I like him a lot. He, like, right now, and this will change probably as the spring goes on, similar to, I guess, Brady Ebel, or someone else, I would be really thrilled to get this kid with my second pick. I don't know if I'm picking in the, like, with my first round pick, if I'm going after him in the top 30 or 20, whatever it is this year. Top 30 picks.
Because it's a right profile, he doesn't have the sort of tools that Billy Carlson has. If you don't think that he's, like, a likely shortstop moving forward, I could definitely see this profile sliding down a bit, because there is a lot of pressure to perform there. Like, a lot of these other guys are left-handed hitters, which helps, or they're more locked in at the shortstop position, or they're younger, or they're faster. But for me, Coy, like, he just does, defensively and speed-wise, I think he's just solid average. Yeah, solid average is probably the speed, how I would describe the speed. I think I'm probably a little bit higher than you defensively on him. I would put him, like, above Cason Cunningham and below Eli Willits in terms of, like, my confidence in his defense right now. I think he could stick at the position and be solid there, solid but unspectacular, like a guy who's going to make the routine plays but is not going to win you any gold gloves. There might be some risk to move to second base moving forward, especially as you're just going to be competing with more dynamic shortstops as you move up the ladder, but I think he does everything pretty well right now. I've seen him make a few throws from the hole that I thought were impressive. But I could see there being, like, different opinions on that moving forward. So yeah, Coy James, pretty solid overall. I'll be curious, I guess, what the approach is going to look like for him moving forward. Is he always going to be this really hyper-aggressive hitter who loves a swing and has some missed questions? Does he get to enough impact? He's not none of these guys we've talked about, with the exception of maybe, I guess, Ebel and Gamble, a little bit more physically impressive. But a lot of these guys are, like, 6 foot, 6'1", just kind of average or slightly below average in terms of physicality. But I do think he's got bat speed. I think he's got surprising pop in the tank. So if he got to, like, solid average or tick above average power, that wouldn't be surprising to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that the power upside with him is particularly intriguing. Like, he's already flashing now.
Mm-hmm.
but there is some more I think to project on. So offensively, I'm excited, but I am a little bit worried and wary of the hit tool, but yeah, there is a lot to like nonetheless.
Cool. All right, let's get into our last player. We're going back to the western half of the country. We're going for another Texas high school shortstop. That's Lucas Franco. He's Cinco Ranch High School in Katy, Texas. 6'3", 175 pounds, committed to TCU. Left-handed hitter. He'll be 18.2 on draft day. And I think in terms of like how they look, Lucas Franco is how you would draw it up in a lot of ways. He's got a great frame, tall, lean, tons of room to fill out. The swing itself is pretty sweet, pretty smooth. I think in the same way defensively, he looks how you'd want him to look. Fluid actions. I love the way he moves around. I like the way his feet work. He's got reliable hands. The ball comes out of his hand nicely with solid carry. I think it's above average arm strength. He's got a solid first step. I think in terms of defensive instincts, he would be towards the top of this group for me. The question with him is just, is he going to outgrow the position? Is he already too big for the position? I think sometimes the exchange, getting the ball in and out of the hand, can be a little bit slower than you might want from a middle infielder. But I certainly think he's got the tools and the hands to be a really good third baseman if he does have to move off the position. And then I think with Franco, for him, it's just like, how much is he going to hit? Like I had mentioned with Gamble, I don't think it is the most instinctive look as a hitter. There's some swing and miss. I in particular have some pitch recognition questions against spin with Lucas Franco. I don't think it's the most impressive pure bat speed. So I do think he's a guy who just needs to add strength, and he's got a super projectable frame. So I don't think that it's much of a question that he is going to get bigger and get stronger, and the impact will kind of come naturally. But I do know he's a guy who looks the part, but maybe hasn't really produced to the level that you're kind of hoping for after you see all the tools and all the separate pieces that he has in his game. He's a guy who I know a lot of scouts really want to like and kind of look at the track record and the performance, and they just kind of want a little bit more. So he's a player that you really want to dream on. What are your thoughts? Go ahead.
No, I was going to, like, you hit the nail on the head, and this is kind of the camp that I'm in. I want to like him really bad, and I think it starts with the body. It's a great body, 6'3", 175, and you look at him, and it's this lean kid. There's clear room to fill out, and you're looking the part, like, this is what you talk about. But he struggled in 24 on these major circuits. I'm with you where I wonder just how much he's going to hit. There isn't this explosiveness to his operation that a lot of these other guys have. But in that same breath, you can probably dream on what he looks like in a year or two or three, more so than a lot of the guys mentioned. It's just about how confident are you in him getting to that point. I think that for me personally, I don't know if I would say he's a slam dunk. Like, there is a lot to dream on. And I think that it doesn't necessarily help that he could also move off the shortstop position. I'm with you where there's a chance he ends up sliding to third, just given, I guess, the lack of speed or in athleticism and just quick twitchiness overall. So I think that there's, like, I really, really want to like him. I'm just curious to see how the tools progress. And I don't know if I'd take him right. I wouldn't take him right now in the first round, and more of a second round type for me, where I just kind of dream on the projectability and general upside.
Yeah. If he does stick a shortstop, I think it'll be in like a Marcelo Meyer type of way. I think Marcelo Meyer is well above Lucas Franco at the same stage defensively and instincts, but I do think it'll be kind of the guy who is big for the position, probably slow for the position, but the actions and the instincts and the hands and the arm strength just kind of allow him to stick there and be a really good instinctive player. But like you said, he isn't the twitchiest guy. He's not the fastest guy. He's a below average runner. He's slow out of the box and doesn't accelerate super well. So that could definitely be a limiting factor. And if he does move to third, there's just a lot more pressure on him offensively. And I think adding strength and just adding more power and feeling confident that even if you're not getting a guy who's going to be a plus hitter or an above average hitter, if you can feel more confident about some power coming, I think that will make teams a lot more encouraged with him moving forward. I think he's still relatively young for the class. Yeah, 18.2 on draft day. Definitely a guy you can dream on. And a lot of scouts, like you just mentioned, really want to dream on him. But maybe one of the more polarizing players that we talked about. And that probably makes sense. We're at the back of the list now. Number 24 on the board at this point. And I could see him going a lot of different directions depending on what happens next spring.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Cool. Well, there you have it. Those are seven of the more exciting shortstops in the high school class. The high school shortstop demographic is just the most fun, Peter. And there are a lot of profiles to choose from, a lot of different types of players, depending on what you're really drawn to. And we didn't even talk about Ethan Holliday, who is technically a shortstop at this stage still.
Yeah, no, it's a fun group. There are more guys that fall into this group. And yeah, as time goes on, I just get more and more excited about the class in general. So excited to keep working through it.
If you're picking one of these shortstops, you basically all these guys are the top of your board. They're the top players available. Which one are you taking?
Eli Willits, no doubt.
Eli Willits, no doubt. Ah.
What about you?
Well, I can't take the same guy as you. That'd be boring. I will go.
I'm happy I went first then.
I will go. Give me Cason Cunningham. I'll take the pure hitting lefty bat.
Nice. It's interesting. Neither of us went Billy Carlson. Billy might have been my second choice just from a sheer loudness. But I am I do really like Cunningham's hitability and the hit tool and the safety I have with projecting on him hitting at the next level. So
yeah, I just love his swing. Like watching him swing is so fun. It's such a dynamic swing. He's so consistent. I mean, the secondary tools with Carlson are really impressive, and I think he's a dynamo defensive shortstop, but I'll go with the hit tool this time. Why not?
I like it.
Cool. All right. Well, that wraps it up for us today. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for hanging out. Let us know which of these shortstops you guys are most excited about. Who would you take? Be curious to hear what you think. I think there's a pretty tight spread between the top and the bottom player in this group, and they could be put in a bunch of different orders at this stage. Before we get out of here, Peter, anything you want to plug? Anything you want to mention?
Yeah, there's tons of recruiting stuff up on the site right now. And believe it or not, there's one more piece to come where I'll talk about every SEC recruiting class, which will be a little redundant, but there are some classes that didn't fall into any of these buckets. But there's the top 25 recruiting classes for 2024, 10 recruiting classes that just missed the top 25, 8 under the radar recruiting classes, which talks about 8 different programs that don't fall into this newfound Power 4 umbrella. Nobody likes the label of the Power 4 and Power 5 conferences, but there's no other way to describe it. And then in addition to that, it's the Draft Podcast Weekly. Next week or the week after next, there will be 10 Jupiter standouts on the hitting and pitching side. No one really knows what the event is going to look like now, but I mean, kids are going to play well at it if they're playing baseball. So talk about that a little bit. And then I'm sure that there will be an underclass draft ranking update at some point. So there's still a lot going on. And then on top of everything else, it is handbook season. So if you have not ordered your prospect handbook yet, I thoroughly recommend doing it, whether it's a gift for yourself or someone else or whatever it is. I mean, I'd highly suggest getting it. It's extremely detailed and thorough reports on 30 players within all 30 organizations. And it's combined with our own scouting, talking to sources in the industry, everything you could imagine. So I couldn't recommend that enough.
Cool. Well said. Well, that is a lot of stuff to look forward to. Definitely recommend you guys getting that prospect handbook if you've not already ordered it. But yeah, this was fun, Peter. We will be back. I don't know, actually, depending on your schedule, when we'll be able to record next. But we will be back to talk about your Jupiter experience when that happens. So I'm excited to hear how it goes for you and hear about the players who stood out. But for Peter, I'm Carlos. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
When Andre sold his car on finance with Motorway, he got more money. Ooh! He then put that extra money into tickets to follow his team around the country.
Come on, Reds!
Selling on Motorway was completely stress-free, which is more than I can say about being a supporter of Reds!
Sell your car the more money way. We're 84% of sellers sold for more. Motorway. Validated against two independent sources. Visit motorway.co.uk/claims.